Thank you, Paula. Man, we have so many good instrumentalists. We're privileged. This church doesn't realize how privileged you are to have all of these singers and musicians that we have in this church. Anybody, let's give them all a hand. Hallelujah. They do a great job. And that's one of the things that I said and I prayed and I told God when I started the church in 85, that's one of the things we were going to have is some of the best musicians around and the best children's and youth programs. And I think we got all three of those. How many of y'all agree with me on that? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I see James and Patty Akai over there. They're over our Rhema Samoa. Good to see you guys. Praise the Lord. I think I'm coming that direction in June. Is that right? I'm going to be coming over there in June. Okay. We're going to Norway, and then we're going to come home for 4 days and then turn around and go to the other side of the world, go to Australia and Samoa. So last year, you know, we went to South America. So we try to get one of those trips in at least once a year. Praise God. You know, it is so great to hear, of course, Denise and then Trevor was with her on that trip down there with the youth, and I heard about it yesterday. It's so great. We'll hear about more of it, but it's what's going on with Rhema all over the world. Rhema is touching the world, not only with the gospel, in humanitarian needs also. I mean, when the tsunami hit Samoa, Rhema was the place where all the supplies and stuff were bought, and then Rhema dispersed them out and helped them out. And so we're touching the world. Hallelujah. Right here, this is the base for the whole thing. Thank God, thank God, thank God. We still need 4 approved workers. Okay, this is part 3 of the Growing Into Your Destiny series. How many of you have been here for all of them? How many of you haven't been here for some of them? Well, we'll start off, go through and do a little review here. Of course, one of our main scriptures was 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, when I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now here, Paul is talking about growing up spiritually, and also in the context in this verse is, of course, 13th chapter, we call it the love chapter, is talking about walking in the love of God, and it takes a grown-up person to consistently walk in love toward our fellow man. God wants us to grow up so he can show us his world. Now, we're going to read from Ephesians 4:14-16. I'd read from the New King James and also from the New Living Translation. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, the New Living Translation says it a little more modern language. We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of doctrine. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body in the church. He makes the whole body to fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, here it's talking about the whole body. It's talking about you yourself, but it's also talking about the church, the local body. Now, see, we say the church. Well, there is the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. That's everybody that's a part of the body of Christ. And then you have your local bodies that we call churches also. But you see, by reading these verses, we see that we do not need, God does not want us to remain children, but that he wants us to grow up so that we're healthy, growing, and full of love. Now, you won't grow up spiritually overnight, but you have to take steps every day. Now, in lesson one, remember, the points were God wants you to grow up so he can show you his world. We must realize that it's beneficial to grow up spiritually. Do you know what God wants you to be when you grow up? That was lesson one. That's just the main points. Then in lesson two, the main points of lesson two was being spiritually grown up doesn't happen overnight. There are similarities between physical and spiritual stages of growth. And then the third point was how you can recognize when you have grown up spiritually. Now these things that I was talking about here characterize and helps us to recognize where we are in the process of growing up spiritually. So today we begin part three, and it says that God has a plan for you to grow up. You know, today we have family plans, health plans, financial plans, educational plans, career plans, emergency plans, estate planning, retirement planning. We have all of these plans. How many of you have had to deal with some of these? If you're in a career, I know you had to deal with career planning. You know, these plans are good. And they help us to be successful in life and to be what we're supposed to be. But we should also consider getting on a plan to grow spiritually so that we can achieve the spiritual growth that we need to walk in all that God has planned for us. You know, one motivational person has said, if you don't design your own life plans, chances are you'll fall into somebody else's plan. And guess what? Guess what they have planned for you? Not much. You know, my dad used to tell me all the time, he said, son, learn how to pray for yourself. You know, people are always getting somebody to pray for you. He said, learn how to pray for yourself so nobody cares about you like you do. Hello. Hey, if you are who God created you to be today, it didn't happen by accident. It happened because you did something about it. Right? You know, some people say, well, if God wants it, I guess it'll happen. No, it won't. You have to get involved. It just doesn't happen. You know, growing up spiritually is not automatic. Some people think just because you get born again, you're automatically grown. Just because you're born in the natural, are you automatically grown? No, you grow into it. You do the same thing in the spiritual side, because have you ever noticed in the Word of God, it talks, we just read about not being children anymore, and it talks about, Paul talks about one area being babes in Christ. Hello. Now, you know, as you decide if you're going to go to college, you have to decide what your major is going to be. You have to decide what the degree plan is and what is needed to fulfill the requirements of that degree plan. You know, you have to plan what you want to be in life. Well, we also should make spiritual plans to become who God wants us to become. You know, if you are in that area and you're becoming what God wants, you see, this growing up spiritually continues until you're not here anymore. Do you realize that growing up naturally continues all from the beginning to the end of your life? You never completely achieve. People that think they have achieved sit down and do nothing and they die. Come on. I know one of my relatives. All they could talk about was retiring. They retired at 65, and 2 years later, they was dead. Because they sat down and did nothing. That's what's the matter with a lot of Christians today. They've become Christians, and now they're just sitting on the pew, and they're dying in the pew. Ooh, that's good. You know, becoming who you were created to be comes about because you and God took some steps together. Hello? Today, I'm the head of a worldwide organization that I feel like's making a difference in the world for God. But you know, I didn't end up being who I am today by accident. Or because I did nothing. Little did I realize as I was growing up that my home life was a part of my training for what I am today. I can still remember my dad's words and actions when I get into certain situations in life. I'm sure some of you are the same way. Anybody with me here? I didn't realize how valuable my education was going to be. You know, sitting in the classroom, those lessons seem worthless, and now they're invaluable. Anybody join me there? You know, I enjoyed playing sports and had a lot of fun at it, but you know, I didn't realize at the time that was teaching me lessons that I would use later in life. It was a part of my training. You see, we need to realize that at every step of our life is a part of our training for what God wants us to be and to become. When I went into the military, I had no idea that training that I endured would enable me to function successfully where I am today. One thing that I use all the time for that training, because I worked in top secret stuff and all of that, and when I left that center, I had to just blot it out of my mind. I can walk out of that office over there and go out and do a crusade and not even think about that office till I get back. Somebody says, "Oh, how do you do that?" Well, let me tell you what. When you have 20 years in Leavenworth prison hanging over your head, if you inadvertently give out any information, when you walk out that door of that comm center, you forget everything that was inside there. You don't even think about it. Anybody ever been there, know what I'm talking about? I got a few people been in some of those areas. See, that was all training to help me for what I do today. And in my military training, I had to take care of many different things at once that were going on. Those machines were running, you know, teletype machines. I'm going back into the 60s now, and they was running about 110 words a minute coming through there. coding and decoding, and I got messages coming in on this side and messages going out on this side over here, and all of them going at once. And I learned how some valuable things. One minister just said, I want to come and hang with you for a day. So he's setting up in my office. And at the end of the day, or about noon, he said, how in the world? He said, you handled 6 different problems on the phone. You wrote 4 letters. And 3 people come into your office with a problem. And you dealt with all of them. And you had to jump from here to here to here to here. He said, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. If you train yourself, you can't. I learned that, see. Then I went to work for my father-in-law, Pastor V. Tipton, associate pastor in Garland, and I thought I had landed. This is my destiny. But it turned out to be that was this 6 years of training for what I am today. See, all of the above helped me to grow spiritually to the place that I could successfully deal with what I deal with every day. I didn't have a great big plan. I just took the steps that God put in front of me, and this is where I ended up. You see, some people, they try to plan everything. Now, there's nothing wrong with planning, and we do plan, but I'm talking about, you got to learn where God's got you, what he's got you going through, and just go ahead and work with it and take each step. I don't think I could do what I do today if it hadn't have been for all of those scenarios that I just talked to you about. You know, the truth of the matter is we must follow God's plan on growing up spiritually, just like we plan and take the steps in the natural to grow. Let me say it like this. Follow God's plan to grow up spiritually, and when your spirit, and then your spirituality will manifest in a big way. What can you do today that will help you or lead you to grow up spiritually? You got to understand that God leads step by step. You don't take one giant leap and land. You take it one step at a time. See, Psalms 37, 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. And that, we use the word there, man, that's mankind, a neutral gender term, meaning all of us, okay? God will lead you step by step. Not one big leap, just like I said. You will not grow spiritually overnight. You won't grow into what God wants you to be overnight. There is no instant, and some of you younger people won't understand this, but there's no instant telephone booth transformations into the kingdom of God that will make you a super saint. Now, you that don't understand that, us that are a little older understand that there was a character called Superman, and he would go into the telephone booth and spin around, and he'd go in there with his glasses on and his business suit on, and he'd spin around and come out Superman. How many of you? Yeah, I got a bunch of people. You know, that's why some people think that you're going to do that with God, that you're going to walk in there, you're going to spin around and come out and be super saint. No, you ain't. We need to realize that each position you take or each step you take is a spiritual journey that God has got you on to get you to your destiny, what he wants you to be in life. Every step is valuable. Don't discount any of it. I could not understand why in 1962 I lost my deferment for going to, back then you had to draft. They drafted you. How many of you remember when you had to sign up, 18, you signed up for the draft? And you hope you didn't, they didn't call your number. And I had lost my deferment because I had a car wreck, and I enrolled in school. I dropped below the hours that was supposed to, but I'd already enrolled, but they had a change of staff and they didn't pick it up, so they sent my name in, and so I got drafted my senior year in Bible college. I couldn't understand all of that. But you know what? It was as, I didn't understand it then, and you may not understand some things either, but as you walk it out, step by step, just walk it out, step by step, step after step, step after step. How many of you have been in some situations and some things and you didn't understand why you were there? But how many of you now understand that that was valuable experience for where you are today? You walk it out step by step. You don't understand everything. We won't, that's what's the matter with some people. They try to understand everything. You're not going to understand everything. That's where walking by faith comes in. You don't understand why certain things happen in life. But as you walk it out, God will be there. He expects you to be consistent and continue to take the steps so that you can reach your destiny. What's the title of this? Growing into your destiny. That's what all of this is about. Growing into your destiny. God wants each of you, whatever your destiny is. It may be to be a businessman. It may be in the medical profession. It may be in IT. It may be in architects. It may be in writing. It may be in being a mechanic. There, God wants people in every walk of life. Yeah, it may be even in politics. We got some Rhema grads that are in the Oklahoma House and Senate today. God wants people everywhere. But some people never get there because they don't follow God to reach their destiny. Oh, y'all awful quiet now. Hello? Growing up spiritually will empower you to stand strong in the difficulties of life. How many of you have ever been in difficulties? Let me tell you, if you hadn't, you will. You know, everybody always talking about life is not a bed of roses. And you know, I got to think about that one day. What in the world? Why? Doesn't. And you think about it. Have you ever realized that when you get those roses, that there's a stem there, it's got thorns on it. It'll stick you. I guess that's what they're talking about. You got the good, but then you got the sticky part. You know, the flower is, the rose is beautiful, but if you're not careful, you'll get stuck. That's the way life is. But God wants to help you through those situations. Now, you know, in 2003, Kenneth E. Hagin, my father, passed away. And the finances of the Kenneth Hagin Ministries took a nosedive. Now, that was a defining moment for me and Lynette and Craig and Denise. You know, because we had to decide if we were going to let the ministry go down or whether we were going to act on what we, on our training that we've been trained in. And to take God at his word and realize that we can make it. You see, when the pressure is the greatest, is when you'll find out if you are growing spiritually, are you still a babe? If you're still a babe and a child, you'll start, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Oh. But if you begin to grow spiritually into your destiny where God wants you to be, you'll say, okay, God, I don't understand all that's going on, but your word says that you'll deliver me out of all of my situations. So, here we go. You know, if there was ever a time that I was thankful for my training I received from Dad and from my father, V. Tipton, and other mentors that I've had, it was during that time. Hello? What they taught me, what I'd learned by watching them walk out situations, helped me to know what to do and what not to do. You know, one of the most powerful things that you can do to grow into your destiny and help you to grow spiritually is to watch someone else that's already grown and that's already reaching their destiny and see how they do things and see how they handle the pressure. That's one of the best ways to learn. I'm very observant. I observe everything. I can walk into a room and in 30 seconds, I can tell you everything in that room it needs to be taken care of. Now, Charlie's sitting right back there. When he was in charge, he built this building beautiful. And he would have, I would come over and he'd say, man, this is just about finished. And I walk into that room. And I said, well, what about this? And what about that? What about that? What about that? What about? He said, man, you see everything. Is that not right, Brother Charlie? He's waving his hand at me. Because that's just me. In fact, I was with somebody the other day, and we went into a place, and I said, man, they need to fix that. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, look at that. And it was a part of the wall had come loose. I mean, I just noticed stuff. But I learned that a long time ago. My dad told me one time, he said, son, he said, watch people. Watch people that are especially in the area that you feel like God's leading you. You can learn two things. And I said, what's that, Dad? He said, you can learn what not to do and what to do from watching other people and see what happens in their lives. You see here, Hebrews 6, 11. Hebrews 6, 11. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Hebrews 6, 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. It's talking about here somebody that just quits doing what they need to do. See, every day you have a choice to be sluggish, apathetic, and have a I don't care attitude. And every day you have the choice to say, if my mentors can do it and did it, then I can do it attitude. I watched my dad and my father-in-law, V.E. Tipton, very carefully in the ministry. I watched them. I watched them when there was financial pressure. I watched them when everything was going great. I watched how they did things. I remember watching Dad when he first started out in the traveling ministry. And I mean, man, it was bad. And he would say, just another opportunity to prove God's word works. Guess what? That's where I got the attitude, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. From watching my mentors. See, whatever field you're in, wherever God has got you right now, watch those that are doing it. And you'll learn. I still today, and I know that I got a lot of people watching me because that's they tell me. But I still today look at other people. Many of them are my peers in the ministry. Some of them I went to Bible school with. Some of them that I've known over the years. I still watch. Some of them are younger in the ministry than I am, but I look to them because I can see some things that I might could use for myself. Don't ever discount what somebody else can show you about your destiny. The day you quit learning is the day you die. Oh, you may still be breathing, but you're dead. Don't ever get that attitude of, well, I can't learn anymore. Yes, you can. There is always something else you can learn. God, there is always a higher place to go. God is not finished with you getting to your destiny until he gets you to heaven. That's the ultimate destiny. But all through life, you reach this plateau, this plateau, this plateau, this plateau. Just keep on keeping on. Somebody asked me, they said, man, you're 75. When are you going to retire? I'm not. When I quit, it's the day that I go to heaven. And that's the attitude that we need to have so we can continue to grow with God. He has more than we can even ask or think. Somebody said, well, I'm facing difficult times. So what? David faced difficult times. Paul faced difficult times. Peter faced difficult times. All these guys in the Bible faced difficult times, but they kept going one step at a time with God till they reached their destinies. The Apostle John had some difficult times. There is not anybody in the Word of God, I don't care how much faith they have. Paul's the greatest faith teacher and faith man in the whole Bible. And he had some problems, bunches of them. But you know what? He kept right on going. I mean, they beat him, he was shipwrecked, but he didn't quit. He kept on going. They stoned him and left him for dead, but he kept on preaching. They put him in prison, but he kept on preaching. Hello. I'm talking about growing into our destinies. See, just because you reach one plateau destiny is no sign that you're finished. That's just a period of time. There's another destiny to go to. There's another destiny to go to. There, and for us that are ministers, and I got some in the congregation, there's another level for us to go to. There is more people for us to reach on different levels. See, I enjoy, y'all all know I enjoy racing, but that's outside of this church. I don't preach there. When I'm at the racetrack, I pray in vacation, but then sometimes I don't. I'm just there with Cameron and I'm working on a car, got grease in my hands. My jeans are dirty because I've been down on the dirt putting a tire on or fixing something on the car. And yet somebody will say, "Hey, preacher, pastor." Most of them call me pastor. Some of them will call me preacher. "Hey, can I talk to you a minute?" See, that's another destiny over there that I have, to minister one-on-one with those guys. You see, God has many areas for you to go into and things that you learn. I got interested in racing back when I was in junior high school. I went to my first dirt track race when I was 15. I read all these books on racing and stuff in our library, not realizing that down the road I'm going to be out here and have the opportunity to be in a racing community. Each community, the IT community, the racing community, the medical community, all of these, and the mechanics, the architectural, the builders, all of these are little communities. And you have a destiny that you can reach in all of those. I see Roger sitting back there, Roger Sharp. Y'all all know he's on staff here. He's up here singing. I mean, he was retired assistant fire chief for the city of Tulsa. And he had many different areas that he operated in. All of them stand him good for what he's doing today. See, God has you where he wants you. So keep following him and you'll find your destiny. As you follow God's plan, he'll lead you and he'll guide you. But if you give up and say, "I don't think I can," he'll stop leading, because he will not force, but he will gently persuade. And as you follow me, I will lead you to many destinies. And you will see that it's been a good life, and you will have helped as you walked along the way, because there will be now those that are walking with you that you have helped to lead, and you will all find your ultimate destiny when you reign with me on high. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's just some words from the Lord began to speak to me. Hey, I want you to notice that it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing, God's leading you into your destiny. Keep believing, keep trusting, keep walking one step at a time, and you will fulfill every destiny that God has for you in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. We have talked to these people today again about growing into destiny. I pray, Father, that each and every heart will find some of these words that have spoken today that will help them to continue to walk with you and fulfill their destinies. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. See, that's one destiny, to finding Jesus. There's another destiny that some of you need, and that is to rededicate your life to God. You know you're not where you're supposed to be with God. You were there at one time, but you need to come back. And then there's some people that go to church all the time, but they don't know whether they've ever been born again or not. If that's you on any one of those categories right now, I want to see your hand, please. Anybody in this room, let me see your hand right now. Anybody in the room, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Anybody, 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 anybody. A hand over here. Thank you. Any other hands? You need Christ. You need to rededicate yourself. You need a no-so experience. You don't know whether you have accepted Christ or not. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. You may be here today and you know that you've accepted Christ, but you have never been filled with the Spirit, like it says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. And you'd say, I'd like to have that experience, that biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit this morning. Anybody in the crowd, anywhere. Everybody stand, please. There's a hand over here. Thank you. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hands, I'm going right down front. I want you to step out in the aisle. Come down here. I want to shake hands with you, and I want to pray with you right now. So come on. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. God bless you, man. Just wait right here. We'll get some others. God bless you. Come on. Hallelujah. Just come on. Just come on, everybody. Come on right now. Bless you, buddy. Just wait right here. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. If you don't want to walk by yourself, there'll be somebody there beside of you. Help you. They'll help. They'll walk down there with you. Hallelujah. Anybody else coming? Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah to Jesus. We're going to wait just a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Change your destiny. You're never too old, you're never too young to come to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hey guys, I got 3 books, Why Tongues, In Him, and New Birth. If I said I'm going to give them to you, I put them out there. Oh yeah, you got them. All of you will get them same books in just a minute. That's just a little exercise I do. I can give you a book, but I can't give you the spiritual need that you have. It comes from heaven on high. I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one. And with that hand, you're saying, okay, God, I'm reaching up to get what I came down here. But congregation, reach hands out toward them as we pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that have come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-soul experience with you. Blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want to ask you to go to a special place of prayer. Be prayed with individually and in depth, and the rest of you get those books that I gave him. You see this young man over here? That's Pastor Bob right there. He's going to take you to that place. Right now we call it a prayer room, but next Sunday morning at 9:00 it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. You say, what in the world is that? Well, it's just a class for about 3 or 4 or 5 times to help you get your life turned on to God, or get you turned back on to God. Okay? Would you just turn and follow him to that place of prayer right now? Thank you for coming. God bless you. You made the best decision of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. For if you're watching on that internet and you say, I need to rededicate my life, or I need salvation, I want you to repeat this prayer after me with this congregation right now, wherever you're at. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sin. You said in your word that if I would confess you as the Lord and Savior with my mouth and believe in my heart, I will be saved. You hear me confessing with my mouth, and I believe in my heart. I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, there's a place there that you can go and let us know about it, okay? Hey, I see on the screen there that they want prayer in Malaysia for salvation for family members. Also, for somebody that has an addiction. Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that this addiction will be taken care of. I thank you for salvation for these people in Malaysia. I thank you, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus, it's done now. Amen and amen and amen. I don't know how many we have watching us today. Did you ever get a count on that? Sometimes they put it up, sometimes they don't. Don't know how many nations were watching us. We had 138 online today, so and then Malaysia, South Africa, Peru, Qatar, and Taiwan. They were all watching us today. Right from here, right there, all over the world. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Well, tonight at 6 o'clock, be here. Wednesday night at 7, Hour of Power, be here. Praise the Lord. Hey, staff, go to the doors, please. Where am I going today? I'm going west. Okay. Connection team, would you please go and find those first-time guests and take them to the connection room, because we have a special gift for you. If you're looking for a church home, say, what do we say again, church? Welcome home. Just come on and be a part of us. You know, we dismiss around here by them singing a chorus, and then they will dismiss you. We want all of these first-time guests to get to the connection room. Praise the Lord. Don't forget all the announcements in the bulletin, okay? And if you are medical personnel and you read that right here, go out there and see Roger, okay? He's in the north lobby out there. Go see Roger, because we need to know who you are, and we appreciate it. Don't forget tonight at 6. All right, they're going to sing. I'm going to go to the door so I can shake hands, and then they'll dismiss you. Praise God. We'll see you tonight right here at 6 o'clock, Wednesday night at 7, okay? God bless.
And our God's a mighty God.